Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
So there was good and bad behavior at the Democratic debate last night. Nothing like that, of course, but the spittle was sort of flying. Walter Jacobson, the legendary newsman whose commentaries you hear on Steve Cochran's show, joins us in studio to break down night two. Welcome back, Walter.
Well, thank you for having me back, John.
What's the
And I didn't hear you say, would you fire the waitress?
I would fire the waitress.
I would too.
But I'm more sympathetic to her emotional set when she did it.
Can I just tell you, the numbers are in?
Yeah.
More than 18 million viewers, the most in a Democratic presidential primary history.
I wonder why. I mean, because you didn't know it was going to be as swashbuckling, you know, as it was, unless you watched it and you had to be watching it. So folks must have expected to see Joe Biden get roasted, or they wanted to see Mayor Pete, or they thought maybe Bernie would be fun. I don't know. But it did. And Kamala Harris sure did stir the pot last night. What were your big takeaways when you saw? So the next day, the next moment after it's over, what did you say? Wow.
The first thing that came to my mind was there are still 12 of these to go. And it's going to be the same requirements to get into the next one, which will be in Detroit. That'll be anchored by CNN. Requirements to get in there include you must have a 1% at least count in the polling on the candidate for president, and you must, unless you are taking the surveys in only five states, you know, like Nebraska and Iowa, New Hampshire and South Carolina, otherwise a national polling. And then you also have to have $500 individual different donors to your campaign.
500?
That's what they had to do.
500 different individual donors.
Right.
So Yang had 500 and Joe Biden had 500.
So they're probably going to get all of them again. So there may be 20 or 22 again. They don't want to get over 20 because they don't want to divide more than 10 each night. And they have to get enough money and show enough votes by outside voters to qualify. And then it gets tougher as you go on to the seventh debate, eighth debate, ninth debate. And that's good, you know, enough of this 10 at a time. I thought it was just awful that we couldn't hear anybody talk about any specifics of the many things they promised.
Well, it is funny because you got 2 hours and then they'll say, okay, what's the biggest geopolitical threat? You've got 30 seconds.
Yeah, right.
So that's not a real good way to express your views on a complicated subject, is it?
It's very difficult, especially now when there are so many different and not hugely different, but minimally different ideas for implementing the plans that they say have to be implemented. You can't possibly, John, get into any detail in 30 seconds or 40 seconds. It's just crazy. They've got to start thinking of how they're sounding before they start talking.
Well, I think that's what it is. So at some point you think, okay, they'll have a white paper on immigration. We know we can't find out what their deep views are on immigration, but let's just see if they can take a punch, if they can stand in the arena and spar. And so that's kind of a weird qualification, because maybe you're not a great debater, but you could be a good president. Or maybe, like Donald Trump, you're a great debater, but you wouldn't be a great president.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not sure that your ability to perform in a debate with nine other people is the best benchmark to decide if you're going to be a good president.
You're right. The problem with that, though, is what would be a good way to get a benchmark? That's the hard part.
Yeah.
You've got to let them all get in there as long as we've got a system that allows them to run in the first place. But they sure couldn't get very far in what they had to say.
Well, especially with us, and I'm sure, you know, you have hearing issues, and even those of us who don't, it was just very frustrating to hear sometimes five or six people talking at once.
That was the next thing I noticed. That grabbed me, too. They were interrupting each other too much. I couldn't hear what was important. And, you know, the moderators were interrupting, too. They had to get them off the air faster. So they cut out some of the most important things each one of them said.
That's it. I think it's always going to devolve into that bit of a free-for-all. So maybe the Chuck Todds of the world or the Rachel Maddows ought to just let them have at it. You know, in a way, they'll reveal themselves. Are they good sports? Do they have something to say? Are they bullies? Maybe the moderator should pull back a little bit and just see what happens. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe not.
That's the problem. It's hard to know what. And those who are organizing and running those debates don't really know what. And I'll bet the candidates don't really know what to do about that either.
Well, Kamala Harris had a couple of tricks up her sleeve. She knew she was going to throw that busing issue at Joe Biden. What did you make of that exchange?
Her spittle.
Yes. What did you make of that?
I thought that Kamala showed herself as possibly the best debater to run against Trump for a lot of reasons. You know, she's more emotional. She's more passionate. She's every bit as bright, if not more so. Let's say Kamala versus Trump. The Democrats are looking for somebody who they think can beat Donald Trump. What they've got to keep in mind, it seems to me, is that Donald Trump had a lot easier going in 2016 that he will have this time. This time he's going to have to answer questions about his record. He's now got a record, and that record's pretty difficult in many ways to defend. And if the Democrat is honest enough and clear enough and smart enough and full of enough knowledge and strong enough to let Trump go off and start calling him lazy Jeb or lying
Ted,
Cruz.
Lion Ted or Ted. A crooked Hillary.
Right. And he hasn't got enough inside of him in terms of knowledge and information to do anything much more than that. So let the Democrat, and Kamala would be very good at this, and Biden would be very good at this. I don't think Biden was ruled out last night.
Oh, really?
No.
People say he got beat up.
Oh, well, he got beat up for a couple of minutes. But, you know, he had an answer. His life has been devoted to civil rights.
That's why
over him for those few words that he did back in 1976 or whatever it was.
It was.
It's just irrelevant.
He did an interview in 1976 with the New Yorker, I think, and that was, it was also his voting record and the senators that he allied himself with. But
right.
So if in 1976 Joe Biden's record, judged by 2019, was not perfect, to me, busing and school integration just aren't the sort of issues that are worrying me that much
today,
in this election.
No, that's right.
And if you say, yeah, but you need to know the man's heart, I think we've had about 50 years to know that Joe Biden's not a racist, that he's liberal on these issues. And if his vote or his tenor back then doesn't ring well today, I'm okay with that, particularly since we've got bigger fish to fry
than that.
But Kamala had that as a punch to throw, even if it wasn't all that relevant. And to be honest with you, Walter, I'm a little frustrated today how much of the lifting for her the media is doing.
I agree with you 100% on that one. That's all they're talking about, as if there was nothing going on there, as if that's the only important thing. And obviously the reason for that is that it's the most dramatic, it draws the biggest audience, and that's what they're rating for. That's what they're looking for in the first place, is that ratings.
What do you think of Mayor Pete last night, Buttigieg?
Well, the same as I've always thought about him, and that's a point, too, that you don't, if you had your mind kind of made up about these people, not necessarily which ones you like more than the other, but things that you thought about how they were behaving. The Mayor Pete is such a nice guy, and he's got so much intelligence. He's such an intellectual, and he's so expressive, and he's so articulate. But he's a child. You look at him, and you can't think, oh, my God, how can you possibly do that? You can't. You can't. You can't.
So you don't see him winning a debate with Donald Trump or an election with Donald Trump.
Well, that's right. I see him possibly winning the debate over who's going to be the next Democratic candidate. Maybe.
But you don't think he's the strongest one to beat Donald Trump?
No, absolutely do not. I think, because when you listen to what Trump's going to do to him, and you think, is this guy tough? Well, he may be tough enough because he's very articulate. But I can't get it in my head. Maybe it's because I'm 82 years old, but I can't get it in my head that a 37-year-old has enough life's experience, enough vision.
That is ageism, sir, in reverse.
Yes, that's right.
You know, we're not supposed to make fun of 82-year-olds for being too old, and you 82-year-olds can't make fun of those 36-year-olds.
Right.
I get your point, though. He looks green, but when he talks, he's so composed. Like, I was appreciative of the fact that he didn't get into the fray last night. When they were all screaming, did you hear him screaming last night?
No, uh-uh.
I thought the guy...
He's very calm. He's very collected.
Was the kind of president I'd like to have. Now... Shame, you know, too bad for us if we can't have that because Donald Trump would beat that kind of candidate. And by the way, if you're hoping Donald Trump gets reelected, You seem to be excluded from this conversation Walter and I are having right now, but we're just breaking down the Democratic candidates. That, there won't be big Republican debates.
I'm trying to pretend that I'm a Democratic strategist. I don't really have an opinion. I've got my problems with Trump, but I don't think as journalists we can have an opinion on who the best one is. I don't want to. Or if I have it, I've got to hold it to myself, exclude it from my work. But I think that Trump is going to have a harder time when he has to support his record than he had to do in 2016.
Oh, well, you keep saying that, and maybe you're right, because I think you look at it a little bit differently or a little more analytical than the people who have clung to Trump because he's their guy and he loves them and he loves this country, and they're not that interested in the nuances that you're thinking about. I was talking to two very liberal and very smart people yesterday, and they said, oh, Trump's going to win.
Yeah, I was thinking that, too. Coming up to this, for the past couple of months or so, I thought Trump would win because the Democrats have been making so many mistakes, and the media is overplaying itself in favor of the Democrats.
They are.
But now, yesterday, I, for the first time, had a very strong feeling that he's going to have one hell of a time in that
beating
debate.
Kamala Harris.
Yeah. Or Joe Biden.
Or Joe Biden
because
still.
Who is going to fill Donald Trump's mind with all
again.
The specifics and data that's needed to argue.
I don't know that matters so much to the people that will vote for him, but I'm not. I asked you to be my guest, Walter. I really appreciate your commentary on that.
Okay, well, thank you. I certainly appreciate yours.
If there's 11 more, you have 11 more invitations to come on this show.
I got him. I'll hold you to that. Do you think we can sit through 11 more of them? There will be more different issues.
No, we can't sit through 11.
So how are they going to change it?
Well,
they can't.
You have to sit through 11 of them, and then we'll invite you back each time.
Okay.
Walter
great.
Jacobson. Listen for him Thursday mornings, too, on Steve Cochran's show. Thank you, Walter.
Thank you.